It's on? It's good? All right. Hello. Welcome. How are you guys doing this morning? Good? All right. My name is Weston Hutchins. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio platform team. With me today is my demo guru, Phil Price.
Hey.
And we're going to do a Visual Studio extensibility talk. This is VSX 101, an introduction to Visual Studio 2010 extensibility. You know, it's the morning session. Everyone's probably a little tired still. And we had a nice heavy bacon-fueled breakfast. So we're going to keep this session pretty energetic, a lot of audience participation. So just to get it started, raise your hand if you've ever built an extension inside Visual Studio before. Oh, wow, quite a few people. What are you guys doing here? Now, how many people have actually tried to build an extension with Visual Studio 2010? Oh, okay, so not so many people. So this is great. Hopefully this talk will bring the people that have never built an extension with Visual Studio up so that they can understand what Phil's going to be talking about through his demo. And for those that haven't built an extension with Visual Studio 2010, we're going to be talking a lot about the new stuff that we've added to this release to make extensibility much, much easier. So what are we going to learn today? And I would pay attention. There's going to be a quiz at the end of this. I know, fun. But we got some prizes to hand out, so it's pretty good. So we're going to talk a few things here. First off, we're going to talk about what's extensible inside Visual Studio. There's a lot of options to go ahead and get started. Where's the best place to jump into it? Next, I'm going to talk about why you should care about extending Visual Studio. What benefits will it bring to you or your development shop? We're going to take a little break and then do the demo. And then we're going to come back and I'm going to tell you more about what we've done in this release to make extensibility much easier to get started and to build and to develop. And then finally, I'm going to give you a pointer on how to go ahead and get started with Visual Studio. So here are the extension points inside Visual Studio. Back in 2008, some lucky PM had the fun task of diagramming every single extension point inside Visual Studio. And he came up with this easy-to-understand graph. Yeah. The point I'm trying to make here is that there are a lot of options when you want to extend Visual Studio. If all you've ever done is export a template, written a code snippet, or created a tool window, you've really only begun to scratch the surface of what's possible inside Visual Studio. But not only that, this is an old diagram. This was back in 2008. We've actually added a lot in the 2010 release to make this diagram even bigger. Like, for instance, the code editor in the upper right corner, we've replaced the code editor with the WPF one. It's extremely highly extensible, much more so than what we had in this last release. So now you're probably all sitting there thinking, Wes, there's no way I'm going to be able to learn any of this stuff. You've given me about 20,000 options to go and start Visual Studio. But I'm going to tell you the best and easiest way to go and extend VS, and that's to let somebody else do it for you. How many people have been to the Visual Studio Gallery before? Show of hands. Oh, great, a lot of you out there have. For those that haven't, the Visual Studio Gallery is the one-stop shop for browsing, finding, downloading, and installing extensions that plug into all the Visual Studio SKUs. We'll go and take a quick peek at what it looks like. And this is live with new Visual Studio purple and blue branding as of this morning. And you can go and take a look at this website, and we have just a list of all the extensions that Microsoft, partners, and our ecosystem have uploaded to the site. Anyone can go and host things on here. One of the biggest improvements that we've made, if you haven't been to the site in quite some time, we used to require that you just had reference links from the Visual Studio site over to your own hosted web server. Not anymore. You can upload your extensions and host them directly on the Visual Studio Gallery. So, for instance, if you don't want to set up your own web server, if you don't have time, if you don't have the money to do that, you don't need to worry about that anymore. Just click the upload button. The package will get uploaded there, and you'll be good to go. We've also added a number of things around reviews, ratings, discussions, so that you can get feedback directly about your tool from the site itself. But one of the biggest things that we've done in this release is say, all right, you know, we've got a bunch of these extensions out there, but everyone's got to leave Visual Studio to go and get them. Well, not anymore. As you heard Rico mention in the keynote, Visual Studio 2010 now integrates a lot of the Visual Studio Gallery functionality directly into it. For instance, between the new Extension Manager and the new Project Dialog, we offer two ways to go and get templates, and extensions without ever having to leave Visual Studio. And let's see, I think I have it open here, and I think you probably already saw a screenshot of it, but I'll go ahead and show you once again. So this is the gallery. There's not a whole lot up there. We just are getting ready for beta 2 right now, so we're going through porting all of our extensions over there. But if you're a developer and you just want to get started building something, but you don't really know where to start, this is a great place to go. You just launch the new project dialog, you're under installed templates, then you go and click online. This will go and query the gallery, list all the extensions that partners and Microsoft and community members have uploaded. So if you ever wanted to build, say, an IE8 accelerator, it's as simple as double-clicking on it. It will install the package and open inside Visual Studio. So now, we have a whole bunch of cool extensions. I'm going to tell you why you or your development shop should care about extending Visual Studio. Extensions allow you to do faster and higher quality development. As I mentioned, the templates are a perfect place to get started doing that. If you have a number of pre-generated code files that a lot of developers use over and over again, you can create a project template, you can create an item template. This will allow everyone to get started at the same exact place. This also leads to higher quality code. Since you're not starting from a blank page, there's not as much churn as well. They also allow you to avoid repetitive work. So if you've done macro development before, you probably know that it can save a lot of time. So say, you know, legal comes back, and they're like, hey, you got to put in a legal disclaimer on the top of every code file. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I have 10,000 code files, and there's no way I'm going to do all that. Well, you can either copy-paste and spend your entire week doing that, or you can write a macro to automate all of that for you. So there's a lot of time savers that go along with extending VS. You can also improve the IDE. Now, I don't know how many people would like to work with, you know, every toolbar visible inside Visual Studio, but maybe there are a few that would. But you know, if you ever sit there and you say, you know, Microsoft, what are you guys doing over there? I keep sending this feature request and it never gets built. You guys never improve the error list or approve the task list. I really want that in there. Building extensions allows you to do that. Using something called a VS package, you can go and plug into Visual Studio and extend or even replace some of the components that are inside the IDE. So almost all of Visual Studio is extensible. There's a lot of power there for you. Finally, building extensions can lead to stardom. Now, hopefully, you won't be like Bill here and land behind bars as a result of your extension, but building extensions gets you noticed. I mean, a lot of our MVPs started just building extensions in their spare time. For instance, Isfin, he's going to be giving a talk later today. He's actually giving two talks. He started out as building extensions. Now he's giving a talk at one of these dev clinics. These are great ways to get your name out there in the development community. Finally, there's a lot of business opportunities that go along with building extensions. We have a lot of partners and companies, as you can see here, that build a business on Visual Studio extensions. Now, I did want to mention one quick thing. How many people have heard of the Visual Studio Industry Partner Program or are a part of it? Oh, okay, great, a lot of you are. For those that haven't, I only wanted to briefly talk about it. We can go into more detail a little bit later. I think there's going to be another talk on it. This is a program that Microsoft offers to our partners to allow them to get some early access to bits. You get access to the developer conference. You get one-on-one time with some of our developers here. You get marketing support as well. There are a lot of great benefits to joining this program. If you are considering developing extensions professionally, you're going to want to consider joining this program. And you can talk to myself or you can talk to Anthony or Catherine outside. They'll have more information on this. So before I hand it over to Phil, I wanted to you know, get everyone ramped up, get everyone the same level. He's going to be covering some extensibility options inside Visual Studio, and I wanted to make sure to have two terms defined for you that he's going to be covering. The first one is a Visual Studio package. Now, the best way to think about a package is basically just a software module that plugs inside Visual Studio. A lot of the elements that are in VS today are the result of packages. For instance, the toolbox, the solution explorer, the C# language service, the CIDR designer. These are all packages that plug into VS. And we've made it a lot easier in this release to go and develop WPF packages on top of that as well. The other thing I wanted to mention is DTE. Now, I've heard it called a whole bunch of things. I've heard it called design time environment, development tools extensibility, development tools environment. Whatever you decide to call it, DTE is the automation model that you use to interact with Visual Studio. So querying DTE, you can use it to get access to a lot of the elements inside the Visual Studio UI. So if you wanted to get access to the command bars, if you wanted to programmatically get access to the output window, the files in your solution, the code files, DTE is the best and easiest way to do that. If you've ever done macros before or even built add-ins, you're probably familiar with DTE. It's the same thing in packages. Not much has changed there. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Phil, who's going to be walking through some building a cool extension inside Visual Studio with WPF.
All right, folks, can you hear me okay? Sweet. We're going to sit down here, and let's get started. Okay, so right out of the box here, we can see the new start page for Visual Studio. This is probably one of the easiest extension points of Visual Studio. In fact, it's a new one. You can see on the default start page, it has some getting started content, guidelines and resources. And I've been looking at this for the past couple of months. I've gone through all the content. I'm pretty bored of it. I think it would be great if I could go ahead and replace this content here with something more tailored to my needs. Now, in Microsoft, we spend a lot of our time, you know, our day-to-day job is through work items and bugs. And it'd be great if I could go and get my bugs and work items up on the start page when I start VS. I can go and say, hey, I've got some bugs to do today. I wonder what they are. See what my team's doing. So if we go to Tools Options and then Environment Startup, we'll see this new option here called Customize Start Page. And then if I go to My Docs, there's a Studio 2010, Start Pages, you can see there's these XAML files here. So you can extend the start page and replace the entire content with a loose XAML file, you know, just like you would when you designed some WPF UI. So if I select startpage.tfs.xaml and hit OK, we're going to go ahead and replace that content with some TFS queries here. Now, our data center is over in North Carolina, so it may take some time for the bugs to come down. Still may take a little bit longer. All right, I'm going to give it a couple seconds. Pretty easy. All right, so unfortunately, these aren't coming down. Hopefully, maybe they will later on, and I'll show you guys that. I also added another extension where you can right-click. There we go. You can right-click and say View Start Page Source. And we're going to go ahead and load this custom start page up in the XAML editor inside Visual Studio. And there's a few things I want to show you just to get the point across. It's pretty easy, just like developing regular WPF applications. Here we see the context menu I did to right-click and say View Start Page Source. It says View Start Page Source here. And it's bound to a command. It says VS Commands, execute command. So I can go ahead and execute commands inside Visual Studio, just like you would from the command window. And this goes ahead and loads up the XAML page. And right at the bottom here is where I have my custom controls. And you see I'm using a custom namespace. So when you develop a WPF application, you make some user controls, put them in another assembly. It's pretty much exactly the same workflow as if you're developing a WPF application out of the box. You can just drop these things and display them on the start page. So you could have anything there, like, you know, you want to have a computer game there or a version of Pong, you can go for it. So let's just give it one more go. All right, never mind. Some things don't go to plan. There's no bugs in Visual Studio, apparently. So the next thing I want to go ahead and show you is developing a package, which Wes talked about, which is when you install the SDK, you're going to go ahead and get this, under Other Project Types Extensibility, this thing called Visual Studio Integration Package. And this is like a project template, which is going to have all the boilerplate code to get you up and running for making a package. Now, we hear a lot of feedback through Microsoft Connect, like, hey, why don't you guys go and make search for the IDE? Not just files, how about the output window, command bars, error list, toolbox, you name it. I'd like to be able to search over that content. So that's what we're going to do now, is build a simple search add-in with a tool window, and we're going to use the DTE to go and fetch that content from Visual Studio. So let's go ahead and create my package, and let's call it search package. And we're going to be presented with a wizard to allow us to customize what goes into this project. So I'm going to choose C#, and I want a new key file. I can give it a name. So let's go ahead and call that company, Phil, and the package, search. And then we're going to get some options here to generate some things out of the box. I'm going to choose a tool window because I want to be able to search and present results from their tool window. Just a quick note, there's also a generate menu command here. We're not going to select that because when we generate a tool window, we're going to have a menu item under view, other windows, to bring up our tool window. So that's done for us. Let's name the tool window. Let's call it search window. And, you know, we can generate some test projects. I don't really think I need them right now, so we'll just skip that. So we're going to go ahead and create this project for you. Let's take a look at it in Solution Explorer. And there's a few things I want to point out. This is the package. So this is like the root integration point with Visual Studio. There's these attributes here which say provide tool window and provide menu resource. This tells Visual Studio, hey, this package has a tool window and this package has menu items. So this is like the first thing that gets loaded when your package starts up in Visual Studio. We also have this thing called My Tool Window. And we have a bunch of useful comments here. And this is the item which is going to go ahead and display our WPF control. So I want to go and create my control in a separate assembly. That's just the way I like to do things. So let's go ahead and create a WPF user control library. I'm going to call this search package.control. And I'm going to go ahead and add a new user control. And we'll call this search control. Okay. And we're going to just dive right in and start building some UI and bring it up in Visual Studio. So let me just bring up the toolbox. I've got some snippets here so that I'm not going to bore you all to death by typing everything out. I'm just going to drag and drop them in, but I'm going to explain what I'm doing. So the first thing we want on our control is some grid rows because I want a text box, a button, and a list box. So a text box, you're going to enter your query, a button, start the query, and a list box to display the results. So these grid rows and columns will contain those controls, which I'm going to drag on now. And we see we have a text box called search text box, a button called search button, and a list box. Let's take a look at that in the designer. And you can see, funnily enough, that I've forgotten to set the content on this button right here. So let's go ahead and call this search. And I'm pretty sure those of you at the back of the room can't really read this. So let's go ahead and increase the typeface size. All right, there we go. So that's our UI. We've got a button to kick off a search, a text box to enter the search results, and a list box to display the results. Now, one little note here. I need to go ahead and sign this assembly because packages need to be signed, and for the package to reference this guy, this also needs to be signed. So I'm going to go ahead in Project Properties and sign this assembly with a new key. There we go. Okay, so I've built this PC user interface now. I want to go and show it in a tool window in Visual Studio. I'm going to go to References and go to Add Reference from my package back to my control. There we go. And within my tool window, there's this new property for VS 2010 called Content. If you return something here that drives from Framework Element, which is like the base control for WPF, we're going to go ahead and place that within a tool window. No HWINs. We're going to get that content and place it directly in there. So right now, we're generating this stub control here. Let's go ahead and replace that with search control. And we're going to let smart tags import the namespace for us. And let's update that guy. All right. Now, I'm going to F5, and hopefully this will come up inside Visual Studio. So whilst this is building and loading, there's a few things I want to explain. When you are doing package development for Visual Studio, your package doesn't get loaded in the regular Visual Studio instance by default. We start up Visual Studio in a thing called the experimental hive, and we do that so that, hey, if you have a package that's going to crash every time it loads, you don't want that in your regular VS because that's going to be pretty painful for you to fix that. So as you see here, it says experimental instance across the top. We isolate your settings in which packages are loaded so that if you get in that sticky situation, you're not going to be, you know, crashing every 5 minutes and so on and so forth. So let's go into view. Other windows, and we'll see search window. It's the window we created, and here's our UI. Now, it acts just like any other tool window. I can dock it. I can float it. I can dock it to other tool windows. You know, the frame comes for free. It's just the content is hosted in here. Now, if I type something and click search, nothing's going to happen right now. So the next step is to go and build search for the ID. Go and get that data. So let's go ahead and close this guy. And we're going to... The first thing we need is a list of search results. And we want WPF to go and bind to that list of search results. So I have a snippet here called search result. Here we go. It's pretty simple. It has a title and a description. And I've also overrided toString, and I'll explain why I did that later. And we want to have a list of these results. So let's go ahead and drag in this IEnumerable of search result. And you'll notice here I'm using this thing called dependency property. For those of you who are familiar with WPF, this is like a WPF notion of property. It comes with some special capabilities. One of them is when the content of that property changes, WPF is notified, so anything that is bound to it can be refreshed. It's going to have the new list items in, say, a list box, which is what I'm going to bind to this. You'll also notice here I added this thing, iService provider. So a service provider enables you to go and get services or singleton objects from Visual Studio. And I'm going to go and use this to go and get the DTE reference from within my control so I can do my search. Now, switching back to the UI. Oops, that's the wrong one. Switching back to the UI. I need to go ahead and set the data context on this guy so I can do some data binding. We're just going to bind this control to itself so we can pick up that results property we added. If you're doing this, you know, for a professional package, you probably want to go ahead and bind to some kind of object model that explains the data you're going to display. But for you know, to make things shorter, we're going to go ahead and just bind to ourselves. And we're also going to bind this list view to that property, which contains our search results. So let's go ahead and set item source. And we're going to set binding. And we're going to say results. So that's going to bind to the results property on this control. So we want to kick off a new search when someone clicks this button, when someone clicks that search button. So let's go ahead and generate an event handler for that button click, which is down here. Right? So when someone clicks, we're going to go, hey, let's go and search the content of Visual Studio. So I don't want to do all that work within this method. I'm going to add a class, which takes care of some of that. So let's call it searcher. All right, and make it internal so I can go ahead and construct it. And I've got a snippet here. Okay. And you'll see here that I'm going to construct the searcher with the iService provider so I can go ahead and get the DTE reference. And I have this list of search results here, which I return out of this method called search that accepts a query. And this list is filled from three methods called search output window, search command bars, and search error list. So that's what we're going to go ahead and search. Each of these methods are pretty simple. They return an enumeration of search result. They accept the DTE, and they accept the query that someone typed in. We're going to have to go ahead and add references to the DTE now so that I can go ahead and get those class, you know, those interfaces so I can use them. So let's go ahead and do that. Now, you'll see there's four versions of the DTE here. That is because with each release of Visual Studio, we ship new functionality with DTE, but we want to make sure that previous versions remain backwardsly compatible and forwardsly compatible. So we have MDTE, and then 8.0, 9.0, and 100, 100 being this release. And we want to also add a reference to Microsoft.Visual Studio command bars because we're going to use that to search the standard toolbar and the main menu. And that contains the interface definitions for that. And lastly, I want to go ahead and add a reference to one of our interop assemblies. Here we go. Microsoft.Visual Studio interop.8.0. And this is going to contain the service definition for the DTE, so I can go ahead and query it from that iService provider. So let's go and add those references. Okay. And then you can see we haven't got a little red squiggle anymore. That's been fixed up. So let's go ahead and write the output window search method. So we can go ahead and get the output window's content from the DTE. The output window is actually a number of panes. You may see that you have build and debug, and you can switch between them. So that's an output window pane, and we're going to search all of them and return the ones which match your search query. So we're going to go for each output window pane in, so look, dte.toolwindows.outputwindow.outputwindowPane. So that's going to give us each pane. Now, the output window actually uses the Visual Studio editor to host its content, so we use the same automation interfaces that we would use for the editor to go ahead and fetch the content. So we need a text selection, so we can go ahead and get the content. I'm going to call that cell equals pane.textDocument.selection. And we want that selection to be all the text within the output window. So we'll say start of document and to the end of the document. So there's a property on text selection called text, which is going to contain the text of the output window pane. So to search that, it's going to be pretty simple. We're going to say if the text to upper, because we want it to be case insensitive, contains the query, then we can go ahead and return a new search result. And we'll call it output. Let's call it output window. And we'll go and append the pane name to that. And then we'll return the text of the output window pane. So there we go. So we're enumerating each pane, getting its content, seeing if the content contains a query, and returning a new search result. Now, I've got some snippets for the other ones. So for command bars, here we go. It's not quite finished, but so what we get basically is pretty much the same. From the DTE, we can get a list of all the command bars, so a command bar being a menu or a toolbar, and then we're going to look at each control within that and see if its caption contains a query, and if it does, return a search result. So I need to go and fill this in and say which command bars I'm going to search. And I'm going to search the standard toolbar and the main menu bar. So we can just index in like that. Pretty simple. And lastly, I've got one for the error list. And again, this is very similar to the output window one. We're going to go ahead and get the error list window from the DTE. We're going to enumerate through the error items and see if each error item's description contains a query, and if so, return a search result. And tip of the day here, you'll see that I'm indexing from 1 instead of 0. Traditionally, the DTE was made for macros, so we use VB. VB likes to index its arrays by 1 and not 0, and this catches me out every single time. I'm always like, for int I equals 0, and it goes ahead and says argument out of range. I'm like, ah, it's because it's 1 index. So if you're going to go and use some arrays from the DTE, please do bear in mind that they start at 1 and not 0. Okay, so we've gone and built searches for the output window, command bars, and the error list. Let's go ahead and hook this up to that button click and then display it inside the product. So going back to our search control, we have this search button click, and we want to go and create a new instance of our search class. And we want to pass it the reference to the service provider so it can go ahead and get the DTE. And then we want to say this.results equals searcher.search for the content of the search text box. And that's pretty much it. So when this results property gets set, WPF is going to go ahead and say, hey, my binding's being validated, and go and suck the content out of that results enumeration and redisplay it inside the product. Okay, now there's one little thing I need to do right here, which is set the service provider instance on our control from our package. And we can do this by actually casting a tool window pane to iService provider. Seems a little bit odd, but pretty much every extensibility point in Visual Studio, not templates and stuff, but the package extensibility points implement iService provider, so you can just go ahead and cast them or call get service to go and get what you need. Okay, let's see if this guy builds. I forgot to import that guy. All right, let's check it out again. Success. All right, let's F5, and then hopefully we're going to get some search results within Visual Studio now using those search methods. Now, you may be wondering why this takes a little bit of time to load up. I often think the same thing. And one of the reasons is that when you're using experimental instance, we have to go ahead and read all that manifest information that says, hey, I have a tool window, I have some menu commands, and rebuild our menus. So we do that every single time you launch on the experimental instance. So it takes a little bit longer than launching the regular instance of Visual Studio. Okay, my search window is where I left it. Let's go ahead and open up this console application. And as I said, we're going to search the output window and the error list. I have a little error here that says Wes is cool. That's clearly an error. And and let's go ahead and see if this works. So if I search for Wes, right here, it's going to take a little bit of time because we're doing this on the UI thread. Right now, I'm going to show you some sweet debugging capabilities of Visual Studio. So let's do this again, because before I was actually cheating using Control F5. So let's go ahead and do that again, and I'll show you debugging a package. And you'll see which mistake I made. I don't actually know what mistake I've made, so it's going to be an adventure for all of us. Okay. Maybe it's an error because Wes is actually cool. Or maybe I should have added some of those unit test projects to this. Okay. It's going to take a bit of time. We're going to break into the debugger any time now.
How fast is your laptop?
Not fast enough. Would be here. Here we go. Here's my error. I put menu, and actually the main menu is called menu bar. So I need to go ahead and fix that right now. So let's stop debugging, which is going to be. And all right, I don't know where it's gone. Let's just go ahead and quit debug. Ah, there it is. It's hidden. It's usually there. All right, let's call it menu bar. Now, third time lucky. It's going to work this time, I'm pretty confident. And Wes is not going to be cool. So, again, it's going ahead and reading that manifest information. This is going to take a little while. All right. Okay, search. Sweet, I got the error item. Now, I didn't build, so let's build again and search for Wes again. And here we go. We've got the output window content and the error item. Pretty sweet. I built a little search. It didn't take me very long, but you guys are here. I even had a bug I had to go and fix. Now, just to prove that it's not smoke and mirrors and that we're actually searching command bars too, I'll go ahead and search for save. And you see we've got two hits here, the save program and save all, which relate to these two buttons here. Now, we all know WPF can do fancy stuff like gradients and animations, and this formatting here is actually the toString property of our search result class. If I didn't override that toString, it would have just said the class name. Let's go ahead and make that look, you know, a little bit nicer, a little bit more attractive. So we have to go over, and we want to go and what we want to need to do is set a data template for our list box items. So a data template allows you to map from a physical class, in our case, search result, to some presentation, and we're going to, which can be anything, you know, it can be buttons and borders and who knows what. So I'm going to go ahead, and there's two things I need to do. I'll actually go ahead and drop this guy in here. One of them is set this XML NS thing. Now, this is a WPF concept, nothing to do with Visual Studio, but what this says is, hey, this AL namespace contains the types from my control assembly. So WPF knows about that search result class, and it can go ahead and format it. The second thing I need to do is I have this pre-built template in here. I'm going to set the item template property on our list box, and it's going to be data template. And you see here it says AL search result. That's telling WPF I'm going to be formatting a search result. And we have a border with a background, which is fuchsia, and we have a title and a description in text blocks. So let's go ahead and see if that guy works. WPF has loads of great capabilities, if you're not aware. You know, you can do like animation. I really like the animation stuff personally, and there's like pixel shaders, and there's all kinds of controls you can just chuck in there, and it's super easy. You'll notice actually as well that my list box items were different heights. And with WinForms, that would be somewhat of a problem, right? Because it's like, hey, all your list items need to be the same height. WPF, it's like, yeah, no problem. It just handles that for you. All right, so hopefully if we do that same search again for save, we should get, there we go. We've changed the formatting. We have this fuchsia border, which is a lovely color. Where's his choice? Around the title, and we have our content here. So you can see how easy it was for me to go ahead and change the formatting of that. And it's all declarative, no code required. Okay, so now I've built search, and I'm like, hey, I want to go and share this to the community. I think my search extension is the best search extension ever. I want to go ahead and put it on the gallery, and I want to go and email it to my friends, and I want them to go and install it. So every time I've been building, let's bring up the output window here, you can see it says creating V6 container. And you're like, hey, Phil, what's a V6? Wow, this is a new thing for Visual Studio 2010. And essentially, it's a file, it's actually a zip file under the covers, that contains all your assemblies for your project and a manifest describing the package. So before, you'd have to run reg package, if you're familiar with extension development, and you generate a bunch of registry keys, and you have to build an MSI. We've got rid of all of that, and we've made it super simple. We just have this one file for deploying extensions. So if I bring this up, you see this v6 file here? I can go ahead and double-click on it, and it's be like, hey, do you want to install this? I click install, done. That's it. Don't need to run as admin. You can do this as normal user, and it's installed in my regular, non-experimental version of Visual Studio. So if I bring up Visual Studio, fingers crossed, under View, Other Windows, we're going to have our search window. And let's just make sure it still works. Great. And this is the same file that you can go ahead and upload to the gallery and that people can download through the Extension Manager, which is where I showed earlier. Now, don't worry. I'm almost over. There's one last thing I want to show you. I kind of like the search thing personally, and I decided to run with it a little bit with one of my teammates, and we spent about a week or so seeing how far we could get with search. So I'd like to show you our like super fancy version of search. So I go ahead and press Control tilde. Let's do that again, get this animation. There we go. So we go ahead and bring up this nice, pretty search box. And there's a few changes we made. We can do search as you type. We use some background threads to index. And what else we do? We store a set of keywords so we can make searching fast. But essentially, it's the same. We use a DT to get the content, but we just, you know, just presents it a little better and made it a bit more performant. So if I go ahead and search for search, we can see our little results here. We're going to also, you can see some push pins here, which kind of say, hey, this is there's one result on our toolbar, and there's 60 results from our files. You'll also see these little numbers here, like 16. So I click on this. It's going to bring up a sub pop-up, which has all the hits from that file. If I go ahead and double-click on one of them, it's going to take me right there in the file. And we also search a few other things, like the output, task list. And the command bars, we do that too. So I just want to show you command bars, actually. Here we go. So we've got two results from command bars. And if I go ahead and select one of them, it moves our mouse right there, because maybe I'll learn where the save button is for future, because I'm always forgetting. Anyway, I think that's me, and I'm going to pass you over to Wes. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Not bad, right? Search in under half an hour? I guess there goes my excuse for the next version. We got to get it in there. All right. So, what have we done in 2010 to make it easier for you to develop extensions? I've bucketed into these four areas. We've made it easier to start, easier to build, easier to deploy, and easier to consume and manage. Now, to get started, we've made the download of the SDK only 10 megabytes. Back in the Visual Studio 2008 timeframe, this was about 110 megabytes. We've moved all of the samples, all of the documentation online. It should be a very quick download and a very easy installation process. And my communicator can't sign in. All right. As Phil demoed, we've also added a customizable WPF start page. We give you the XAML right out of the box to go and customize the start page that we ship with Visual Studio. So it's not magic. You can actually edit that template yourself. If you don't want the RSS feed, just delete it. You don't need it there. It's gone. This also doesn't require the SDK, so that's pretty cool. It's the easiest way to get started building on top of Visual Studio. We've also done a number of things in the SDK around creating new and improved project templates. So a lot of the new editor extensions that I mentioned earlier, we've added templates for those to help you get started. We've also cleaned up the wizard a little bit. We've done some stuff for the integrated and isolated shell. We've made it much, much easier for you to create WPF content inside Visual Studio. Now, in terms of easier to build, for those that have used Visual Studio 2010, you're probably well aware that our big investment was moving the shell over to a WPF presentation layer. Phil demoed some of the cool concepts that you can use, or some of the cool functionality that WPF gives you, such as, you know, the ability to quickly update the look and feel of your application. If you're building extensions for VS 2010, I'm strongly going to encourage you to use WPF. For this reason, if we decide to ever add more functionality to the shell in the future, you will most likely pick that up automatically. So that if we decide to do, say, theming in the future, your application will pick up those UI styles from us. We've also done a major overhaul of our editor. We've taken the old Visual Studio editor and replaced it with the WPF one. Now, there's a talk, and I think it's right after this. Chris Granger is going to be giving on the editor extensibility and walking you through some of the new capabilities, such as adornments and margins. If you're interested in that, I strongly encourage you to stick around. It's a pretty cool presentation. And easier to deploy. This is probably one of the biggest area investments, or the most impactful area investment that we've made for this release. No longer do you have to go build a setup project, an MSI, to go and deploy your package. As Phil demoed, it's all packaged up for you inside a V6 file that's integrated into the template. You don't have to do anything to get that working. You don't need to be admin to install it. You can drag the V6 file onto another user's machine, double-click it, and open it. And for those that have done extension development in the past or package development, you probably remember how fun it was to go and get a package load key and a shell load key. Yeah? Yeah, some people are nodding their head. No more. You don't need to do that anymore. Use the V6 file, go and deploy it to another machine, it just will work, or upload it to the gallery. Finally, we've made it easier to consume and manage inside Visual Studio. Rico mentioned this in his keynote, I'll mention it again. You can use the extension manager and the new project dialog to go and download, browse, install, and even go and uninstall extensions directly from inside Visual Studio. So, how do you get started? I strongly encourage you guys to go and visit msdn.microsoft.com/VSX. This is our extensibility portal. You'll find the link to go download the SDK. You'll also find a number of other resources to help you get started, such as blogs, samples, tutorials, videos, a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of great content on there. You can browse around there for quite some time. Once you download the SDK, if you go to File, New Project, you can select your programming language extensibility. That's where you're going to find some of the editor extensions. Or you can go to File, New Project, Other Project Types, and select Extensibility. We have a few more templates under there, such as the package and a few other things. All right, quiz time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Everyone loves a quiz, right? So I wanted to end this with a high note, a fun note. Now, I went and asked my boss, James, and I said, James, I want to do some giveaways at the end of this conference. Do you have some money for me to go and buy some stuff? And he goes, Wes, you know, Microsoft, it's hard economic times right now. We're trying to cut back. Yeah, you can hand out stuff, but you have to find it around Building 41. So I went around people's offices that might or might not have been there on Friday and found some cool stuff that I thought I'd like to give out to you guys. So if you've been paying attention, these questions will probably be pretty easy, but I'll take the first hand that I see. Question number one, what are two new ways to browse the Visual Studio Gallery from inside VS? Hand, anyone? Over there. You got it? New project, close enough. I'll give you that. The new project dialogue. Phil, tell them what they've won.
You have won an Express USB key drive, and a small Visual Studio Express t-shirt, and this boxed edition of Visual Studio 2008 Express. There's only, what, 20 of these?
We only gave these to the people that worked on Express.
So
one person less.
This is totally 100% exclusive.
Congratulations. Good job. All right. Next question. Name two new VSX improvements that we've made with the Visual Studio 2010 release. Yes, right here.
Standard WPF templates, project templates, and .vsix.
Correct. We've added new WPF project templates for package wizards, and what was the second thing you said?
VSIX.
Yes, VSIX file. Phil, what's behind door number two?
We have the Visual Studio Picnic Pack. We have Team System soccer ball, never been used, just slightly deflated. And inside the picnic box, we have a signed Visual Studio 2005 baseball, a got.NET yo-yo, and this is pretty sweet, a Visual Studio .NET toolkit with, like, screwdrivers and stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Not bad. All right. Toughest question. Final rounds. Are you guys ready? Did you enjoy this presentation?
Yeah.
I saw his hand go first, so he gets it.
Who?
The guy right back there. Phil, what did they win?
The Visual Studio Antique Pack.
Oh.
A signed version of the launch copy of Visual Studio 2005, signed by Rico Mariani. Look at that. That is pretty sweet right there.
That was the keynote, guys.
And Visual C++ version 2.0. with a pre-release of Chicago, which was the code name for Windows 95. Yeah, never been opened.
Sealed. All right, that's it. So we'll open up the floor for questions, or if no, there are no questions, we can just head out and grab some early lunch. Yes, right here.
The VSIX stuff, how's that for updates and all of that? You know, so like MSI, you can get patches and stuff.
Sure. So the VSIX file, Quan's going to talk. The question was, what are the updating capabilities of the VSIX file? Quan's in the back. He's actually the PM that's responsible for that. The extension manager will handle updates for your extensions that are deployed using VSIX. So if a user goes in there and selects tools, there's an option to check for updates. It will go and query the version in the manifest file with the one that's up on the server. You can go and download that, and it will install it for you automatically. Did I get that right? Yeah, sweet. All right. We don't have support for that in this release. It is something that we are looking to do for future releases where people can have their own galleries online. But we will offer that later. Yes?
Have everything that you've shown today applicable to isolated shell as well, or is it mainly for integrated shell only? The .vsix and...
Yes, Pedro. The question was, is all the stuff applicable to isolated shell and integrated shell? Great. Yes?
Is Visual Studio 2010 SDK compatible with Beta 2 available today?
Yes. The question is the Visual Studio 2010 SDK compatible with Beta 2? We are releasing, as of this morning, or I think it's Wednesday, we're going to be releasing a new version of the Visual Studio SDK that will work with Beta 2. So, yes, you can get that right away. Yes? So the question is the PLK necessary for the isolated shell, the integrated shell? And the answer is no. Like, we've gotten rid of all of that, so you don't need that anymore. That was the SLK, the shell load keys. You don't need, that's all gone. Yes?
Question about the V6 file. Is there a way to reroute where the files get deposited?
The question was, is there a way to reroute where the files get deposited for V6 file format? So the short answer is yes, there is a way to do that. But by default, when a user goes and double-clicks those, they get put under the local user drive for that particular user, so under app local data in that user. There also is an admin switch that you can use to deploy for a per-machine-wide basis. If you didn't want to install to just a user, you could go and, I think it has to be done through a command line, but you can type in the /admin, and that will go and install it under program files so that you get it for everyone's machine. I don't know, Quan, do you know if you can do it for any location on the hard drive? Okay. Just those two, right? Yeah.
So, yeah, so you should make it clear there are point is there are scenarios where the V6 mechanism is not powerful enough, and you'll still need to use MSIs if you have more powerful or more advanced scenarios.
Yeah.
Like needing to put files in particular locations and all the places.
Yeah, that's a very good point that Doug made over there. You know, the V6 file format, it's new. It's still evolving. It doesn't have quite the power of MSI. So if you need to do a lot of stuff like custom actions or you need to deploy to specific locations, good old MSI is your friend. Yes?
When I do MSI, how would I add extensions to the extension manager?
So if you do an MSI, how can you get integrated into the extension manager? Well, so We still support what we call reference links on the Visual Studio Gallery. So you can take an MSI and go and publish that on the gallery, but it won't be hosted there, right? It'll be hosted on another page. Okay, so it will be hosted on the gallery. But when you go and install through the extension manager and you click download, it will actually take you out to the landing page for that MSI where you can click download and click install it separately. So it's not as integrated as an experience as you would get through using the V6 file format. But you can still upload it to the gallery. It will still be discoverable in the Extension Manager UI as well.
Because a few months ago, the requirement was PKSIX format.
VSIX is only for like the deep integration where you can get the one-click button and install inside Visual Studio. You can still do MSI. We've actually made a change for the Beta 2 release to support MSIs. Back in Beta 1, it was only VSIX. Beta 2, we heard the feedback says, you know, we want to open it up. A lot of us have MSIs. So we've allowed you to browse MSIs from the Extension Manager dialog, and it will take you out to the landing page for the gallery. Yes? So for the question was, for isolated shell applications, can you point it to something other than the Visual Studio gallery? Is that correct? Yeah. And I don't think you can for this release. Like I mentioned earlier, we only support uploading to the Visual Studio gallery and pointing it at the Visual Studio gallery. It is something we are looking to support in future versions, but we don't have that capability quite yet. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Hope you enjoyed it.